Today's audiocast for Friday, July 7th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb. Chances are you know the rules of the sky and you follow them. But if you ever intend to fly within 100 miles of Washington, D.C., the FAA isn't taking anything for granted. Earlier this week, the agency published a notice of proposed rulemaking, which, if it becomes a final rule, would require any pilot with travel plans along the Eastern Seaboard between Philadelphia and Richmond, Virginia, to take an online course and pass a test on the requirements for flying within the Washington Air Defense Identification Zone. AvWeb's Russ Niles spoke with Chris Dancy of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association about what the new rule would mean to pilots.
Yeah, as drafted, the proposal requires that anyone who's going to be flying under visual flight rules within 100 miles of Washington, D.C., will be required to undergo some online training that's currently available on the FAA website.
AvWeb's getting a lot of email from people who are concerned about this and wondering if it's a restriction on their right to fly in the area.
Well, here's what the rule says. Within 180 days of the publication of the final rule, which is still, in all likelihood, several months down the road, so quite a bit of time before pilots have to comply, pilots will be required to receive training on operations within the Air Defense Identification Zone around Washington, D.C., if they're going to be flying under visual flight rules anywhere within 100 miles of Washington, D.C. The course itself takes about 20 minutes to take online, and at completion of the course, assuming you complete it successfully, you can print out a certificate that says that you've completed the course. It will have your name and your pilot certificate number on it. You have to keep that certificate, but you do not have to carry it with you. The rule simply requires that you have to present it within a reasonable amount of time upon request. So that would be the FAA's way of keeping track of whether or not a pilot has completed the course. It doesn't say anything about this in the rule, but one would presume that it would take a ramp check or a pilot having already violated the ADIS for that certificate to be checked. That's sort of where it is at the moment in terms of what sort of documentation you have and when you have to produce it.
Well, this certainly casts a wider net for pilots who are affected by the ADIS. What's AOPA hearing from pilots in the affected area?
We had anticipated that pilots who lived within a certain radius would be required to undergo this training, but the rule as written appears to indicate that any pilot holding any certificate or rating flying from anywhere within the country who will come within 100 miles of the ADIS would need to undergo the training if they're going to fly under VFR. That's a lot of ifs, but that appears to be what the proposed rule says. So, for instance, a pilot from Chicago who may be traveling to Richmond, Virginia, and will pass within, say, 80 or 100 nautical miles of Washington, D.C., would have to undergo the training if that pilot is flying under VFR.
Just for geographical purposes, not all of us live on the Eastern Seaboard. What's 100 miles north of Washington and what's 100 miles south?
It would cover most of the area from Philadelphia to Richmond, Virginia.
And west to?
Well into West Virginia. I'm not sure what city that would be closest to, but well into the West Virginia area.
Frankly, we haven't been hearing an awful lot about ADIS incursions in the last 6 months or so. Has AOPA been following the rate of incursions? Is it getting better or worse, or is it staying the same?
As best we can, it does appear to be reducing somewhat. This rule came about in the wake of last May 11th event in which a Cessna 150 caused the evacuation of the U.S. Capitol and the White House. You may recall at the time there were calls within Congress to impose incredibly stiff financial penalties. The FAA at the time made this proposal, not formally yet, but a proposal that was educational as opposed to punitive. And AOPA at that time supported the general concept of an educational program as opposed to a punitive program to make sure that pilots comply with the ADIS requirements.
There has been some suggestion that this is sort of the final nail in making the ADIS permanent, that, you know, why would you need the education program if the ADIS wasn't going to be permanent? Any thoughts on that?
It's really apples and oranges. The notice of proposed rulemaking to make the ADIS permanent, as you may recall, generated more than 20,000 comments. The FAA is still working through all of those comments. There is no indication that they are anywhere close to issuing a final rule. Our best guess is several more months before they even reach the end of the comments. The proposed rule that was published last week is a direct result of that May 11th event from last year. It has to do with the ADIS as it currently exists. Whether it stays or whether it goes away, this education rule would apply to the ADIS. So to say that it's the final nail is really not true.
In terms of taking the test and getting on with life, what do pilots need to do? Just go to the FAA website? Is it in an obvious place?
Yes. I believe it's faa.gov/airsafety, if I remember correctly. And there is a link to the ADIS training program. The program exists currently. What this rule would do is make it a requirement that pilots flying within the 100-mile radius take it. And AOPA has made one pass, really, through the proposed rule, and we still support the concept of an educational program. On initial read, we do have some concerns with some of the language about how it will be implemented, and at this point, we do plan to file comments regarding some of those concerns and possibly offering suggestions for ways to improve the rule and its implementation.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing those, and thanks very much for your comments today, Chris.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Russ. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to AvWeb's Russ Niles, who spoke recently with Chris Dancy of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association about proposed new rules for pilots who want to fly in the Washington, D.C. ADIS. In other news this week, how about running your airplane on fish guts? As oil prices increase, government and industry are dusting off an amazing range of alternative energy options, some of which could end up in front of your firewall. And while the skies are pretty empty over most of the country, Florida officials are concerned about increasing numbers of GA aircraft stretching facilities there. One factor fueling those concerns is the predicted influx of small jets, and one of the most interesting and innovative designs in that sector is flying a lot in Canada. Diamond Aircraft has expanded the flight envelope for its D-Jet at the company's London, Ontario headquarters, and so far the airplane is performing well. Official rollout is expected next week, and its first public display is scheduled for EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh at the end of the month. For these and other stories on the week's events in aviation, point your browser to avweb.com. To comment on today's podcast, just drop us an email to audionews@avweb.com. Don't forget, AvWeb is gearing up to keep you right in the loop with expanded coverage of EAA AirVenture 2006. With our extra issues online and three additional podcasts that week, it's the next best thing to being there in Oshkosh yourself. Today's report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, July 10th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading AvWeb's Audio News.